Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Do, 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 do. Exciting and new. Woo. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Welcome to 90-day Beyonce. Season 10, episode 8, part 2. My guest is the bearded, the hirsute, the his sweet. He's sweet. Kyle from Reality, 90 Day Fiancé, Reality Cray Cray.
Thank you again for having me.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you. Is it, your show is called 90 Day Fiancé, Cray Cray.
Correct.
why do I think reality is in there?
Reality Cray Cray is like the podcast umbrella.
I had one job, and that is to not to say the name of your show correctly.
It's fine. Reality Cray Cray also includes we have another podcast that covers documentaries, which is under that kind of umbrella. Have you watched Twin Flames? Universe.
I watched the one, the Hulu one a while back.
Two that I'm aware of. One's on Amazon, I think.
Oh, I just saw balloons.
I don't know. I fucking do that all the time and I have no idea how.
I was outrageously gaslit because Maddie had it and I would say, oh, something's happening. And he was like, I didn't see a thing. And they made me think I was actually crazy. Anyway,
so there's a Netflix one and a Amazon one, I think.
That's the one, but, Amazon, okay. Not Hulu. I've said that in the Netflix one, that what's her name? I always forget her name, but it's almost like she's a puppet and that he's got his hand up her ass.
Shalaya.
Yeah. Y'all, this man is what happens when you tell theater kids they're talented. Because.
But you only let them perform on Zoom.
Yes. This is what happens when you have a theater teacher who kind of is nice to you, even though you're not really talented. And she says, yeah, I think he could do something one day. I think he's got real talent. And she doesn't mean it. And this guy took it and ran with it. Ugh. You're doing all of it on your B-sides, right?
Our documentary podcast is called D-Sides.
D-Sides, yeah.
we just put out a 4-hour long discussion of that shit show.
I have to finish it. I'm like halfway through episode 2.
A good chunk of it was a dramatic reading I did of a blog that Jeff wrote where he was trying to manifest a harem. But
wow.
The
other thing about this guy is he totally would have been gay if he could have been. Like, really?
There's a lot of thou doth protest too much coming out of him.
Yeah. I think if he had it in him really to jump into the gay pool, I don't think he would have really made a good gay guy. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't think he would have ever he could never go there, so he has to go to the complete opposite. It's kind of like the Keith Raniere. He's trying to be the Keith Raniere type, who's much smarter than he is.
It's a lot of effort to just try to justify to yourself that you want a twink. The whole divine masculine, divine feminine. I mean,
the twink really, is a divine masculine and a divine feminine in one.
Like, you're,
it's
really
like shampoo
over
and conditioner.
No, that's incorrect. Bi people don't exist. Okay, we've established this by now. It's just a lot of work to kind of justify that. Ah, man,
no, I totally agree.
All these cults somehow both seem way too easy, but also too much work.
I agree. My takeaway with the first couple of episodes that I watched was these may be the stupidest cult members that I've ever seen. Like, that they would believe any of this. And because these are two clowns. One of them, the woman, is literally wearing clown makeup.
Yeah.
Like, in her, she's doing a lot of experimental procedures. And in the one that I'm seeing, she just kind of stares at the camera the whole time.
The whole time. Just absolutely blank.
Soullessly.
Yeah. Waiting for the ventriloquist to animate her.
So while he's drinking water, she's talking. It's something. So y'all, check that out on D-Sides. If you can't get enough of Twin Flames, check out Reality Cray Cray's D-Sides. I would love to hear y'all talk about that, because these people, the thing about it is these two people, they should not have been able to be cult leaders.
Absolutely agreed.
They're not that talented.
Manson
was talented.
Very little charisma comes through on the documentaries.
Right.
Yeah.
Keith Raniere, extremely charismatic. What he was able to do. And at least those women burned themselves with coat hangers. These people aren't doing anything like that.
It really shows how desperate people are for connection and love. And our culture is so, like, this Disney princess stuff, like finding your perfect soulmate is so ingrained into people from birth that you're like an incomplete human without your twin flame. Yeah.
Y'all, say it with me. Your soulmate doesn't exist. We've said it over and over again on the podcast. Or you got like 7 soulmates.
Right.
And you're just hoping you go to the right bar. Because they're
yeah,
you'll find them occasionally, or as I always say, find someone you can tolerate, and then settle down.
Find someone that you agree with money on, and that you find marginally attractive, and then you're good.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah.
It's not setting the bar low, y'all. It's realism.
Yeah. It's how could I tolerate another human being for at least 20 years?
I still think I've said this on the pod, and some may call it little cynical, but I said,
bleak.
If you're imagine coming from me, I said, if your marriage lasts for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, even, that's a good run. That's a really good run, especially for a first marriage.
I didn't make it that long on the first.
Exactly.
I'm at 10 now.
If you're,
I feel like we're just locked in now. I mean, there's no escape.
You'd have to, it wouldn't be you. She'd just have to like not come home one day. Or just walk out.
Go for cigarettes.
Yeah. And like radically change her life. Like fucking Carrie Mulligan and Promising Young Woman, like fucking walk out the door and become a different person.
Well, now you're giving me nightmares. Thank you.
Hey, your wife's an independent woman, so you chose that. You never know the other side of the other side of the coin.
She has opinions. It's just awful.
Anyway, y'all, we're here to. Anyway, I need to watch the rest of that. And then there's the new thing called Mother God that just came out.
I've heard that is pretty crazy as well. Yeah. Although the end of Twin Flames, it really escalates quickly. I mean, by the end, the guy is trying to create a master race on a compound.
When you said this to me before we started the show, and I went, baking powder master race? I need to know more about said crazy idea.
The cult is 85% women.
Right.
And by this point, he has forced many of them to transition to men, to identifying as male so that they can marry each other off.
Yes.
But if you're going to have a compound and you're going to ensure the longevity of your organization, you have to start making babies. You know,
that's true.
This is just 101 stuff. So how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have the men donate sperm to the women, and Jeff is going to pick which men to pair with which women to create the perfect golden children. He calls them golden children, but he's really creating a master race on a compound in Michigan.
Because where else would you do it? I'm so glad that this programming is available to everyone. And I
still growing, still going strong.
Wait to watch it.
Still going strong.
There's something about cult stuff that I can't look away from. I have to watch everything about it. Everyone knows who's listening. I've been obsessed with FLDS Church for as long as I can remember. It's still my favorite kind of cult behavior. And I'll watch Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey as long as I can.
Yeah, we covered that on our podcast too. That was dark.
Oh, that stuff is just there was a series. Do you ever watch it? It was on A&E. It was called Escaping Polygamy, and it was three sisters with the very unfortunate names of like Chanel, Hermes, Birkenbag. that wasn't their names. There wasn't their names, but they were lovely women, but they were getting their like family members at like of the order. And they're like, we got to go help our sister who's from like this thing. And they all kind of talked like Mormons in that they had Mormon speak. And they would always rescue these people with less than adequate dental coverage. And then they would get them out, and wonderfully, sometimes they would go back. And then there would always be that part where the women can finally dress how they want to. So they have like four earrings in their ear, and they go through their slut phase. And you're like, I love that for you.
there's a permanent Rumspringa that begins.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Y'all, let's jump into this. Let's start out with Gino and Jazz, with Wedded Bliss or pre-wedded bliss, I should say. We're not married yet.
Gino, I would love to know what you dead for a good year.
The sheer terror that I experienced when you're first of all, Gino is still putting together IKEA furniture. Like my engineering degree is paid off, and I also have to say the sound person who is giving Coco all of these little no is doing amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
She walks in, Jasmine walks in what I called a 80s real estate agent outfit. Emerald. She walks in, she's seething. She's basically chewing nails and she's like, I would like, you said, to know. And he's like,
There is nothing that Gino can say to prevent what's about to happen.
between the volcano that's about to explode, and she says, he's like, well, I didn't go out. I didn't go out, Jasmine. Like, what about Dana and Anthony? And he's like, oh, you mean my bachelor party?
Oh, you mean my whole bachelor party at a strip club? Yes.
And she's like, why didn't you tell me? Why, Gino? And then it goes into the screaming and the crying that ensues after is not about that he had one. She's like, because I had a bachelor party and I slapped asses of men and I showed my titties.
I hung my ass outside of a bus.
So she did that. She's like, because I had one and it's only fair. And that's the first time I've ever heard Jasmine say it's only fair for anything. Right. And then at one point she's like, it was that you didn't tell me.
He makes the classic mistake that submit and a lot of these guys make on the other way, which is, I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to be mad. Which doesn't work with anyone.
It never works, and especially with someone like Jasmine, because she's going to be mad regardless.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. The thing about what Jasmine is doing here, she's basically trying to get him to willingly did that to trick her or to touch girls, and right. and just
which he
to
did.
Be yes, which he did. And he should feel ashamed of that. That's the shame. And the thing that Gino always looks at when he's like about Jasmine is kind of the same look that Oppenheimer has at the end of the film. Like, how do I control this? And am I responsible?
It's like the guy that discovers artificial intelligence.
Yes. He goes, did I do this? And I can't do anything to prevent it. What have I unleashed on the world?
Jesus has taken the wheel.
Look,
I'm at a strip club. I don't know how I got here. And there's an ass in my face. And I mean, what am I supposed to,
it didn't look like a film crew. I think it was shot on a phone.
I don't know. It looked high def to me.
So you think they took a crew?
Oh, I think they took an entire ass crew, and they film. I think they have 8 hours of footage of this, and we are going to get we're going to get more than we bargained for at the tell all. I'll tell you right now.
I think you're dead right, and it just became clear and. Jasmine is going to scream and maybe we'll even have one of the strippers as a guest.
Yeah. And we're going to have a stage storm off within 30 seconds of their segment starting.
Cinnamon, come on out here.
Brandy, come on out.
And guess what? Spoiler alert, it's the same one. She's already been drinking.
I like that Jasmine says, what about the time you spending with Dana? And he immediately knows, oh, the time I went with a close family member to a strip club. Yes.
And then y'all, she's like, now it's interesting. He takes a different tack with her. Now he does, no, you're overreacting. He doesn't ask for forgiveness first because she's on his turf now. It's really interesting. The dynamic is different. And I think she likes that better. Like he's fighting back and it's something for her to punch against.
Oh, it's much better for her if it's a absolute scorched earth warfare. That gets her going way more than sad, placate, you know, just like docile Gino. You can't, and that's no good.
She basically says, I want the tickets back to Panama. And she throws the ring. This is easily her seventh time throwing the ring at Gino.
Throwing something.
And then she's holding Coco, and Coco is thinking, God damn, this crazy bitch.
I guess we're going on a plane again. Fuck.
It's like, this is hard. This is hard work being someone's emotional support animal. We didn't get a ton of them this week. And I got to say, it's kind of refreshing because we got a lot, thank God, a lot more of guinea pig land, which is my favorite place to be.
We got a short, concentrated dose, and that feels right.
It does, and it feels like enough. Yeah.
The other reason why I'm completely convinced that they took a whole ass Sharp Productions camera crew to the strip club is because of the way that Dana's wife just told everything to Jasmine, like immediately with no hesitation in such a confident manner. That was just set up, teed up.
You're exactly right. And this is the one woman who doesn't think that she's here to use our government or
to harvest dollars,
to harvest the American dollar. And so they're going to, thank God that woman's there. So it's going to be her, like kind of her, you know, how Danielle had fake friends and Nicole had fake friends.
Yeah. You gotta have instigators.
You gotta have fake friends. And so Jasmine's going to have her as a fake friend. And I swear she's like, you know, when they had the bachelor party, and Jasmine, she's like, he had a bachelor party, and she's trying at every moment not to become a dragon. And she's like, I'm talking to Michelle, I'm trying to hold it together, but she's not. She's like, oh, I can't wait to talk about that when I get home with him.
Smoke coming out of her ears. Yeah.
And it is very entertaining.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreau!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
and people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
I really liked when Gino said, "I can't marry someone that gets so upset." It just
too late, buddy.
Where have you been asleep for the last 2 years? What are you talking about? This actually is on the bottom 50%.
I agree.
Of freakouts that she's had because this season.
some of it actually seems reasonable as well. And yeah. I think it was her power suit that made her feel like she's.
I'm very convinced. I want to vote for you.
I know it was very Hillary Clinton like when she said, "I'm not some Tammy Wynette standing by my man," on the Today Show. Can we talk about moving on to Nikki and Justin? Again, I hate this storyline.
Me too.
I don't think there is any type of brightness in it.
Yeah.
I think it's all based on two people using each other and not for the right way. And neither one of them are really doing that or really connecting their relationship in a safe way for the other person.
Yeah.
And neither one of these people needs to be with anyone right now. And I don't know. The one bright spot of this whole segment was Jessica Delilah, the dog. Jessica Delilah.
That's the name. Yeah, that's great.
The name. Y'all, this sounds like from the House of Delilah from RuPaul's Drag Race, all of a sudden. Like, there's all these others. There's like Asha Delilah. There's Jessica Delilah. Kyle's looking at me like he has no fucking idea what's happening.
No,
homophobic.
I just feel like that should have definitely been one of Brandy's kids' names.
Jessica Delilah.
Brooklyn Jessica Delilah.
Jessica Delilah to the main stage. Tip her well, y'all. I also wrote down that Justin's parents are the same age as I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She may be 50s, but she's not.
Oh,
much.
I thought you were being literally like, just like they put the ages on the, they didn't put the ages on the screen. So I wasn't sure if you were being serious,
but I'm okay. Saying they kind of look.
They look young.
It is an Eastern European country, and they wear their age a little differently in some places.
I hate this couple too. I think first and foremost, I think they're both just bad people.
Yep. It's for fame.
You know, I mean, they're like just gross humans. Nikki has a rap sheet. She's committed Medicare fraud, mm-hmm. for which she was like found guilty of. She's been trying to be on TV forever. I don't really know what she's going for with her kind of career trajectory. It seems like very fragmented, and she's never really had any success anywhere. And so she just kind of tries anything, which is frustrating because, you know, if you want authentic storylines, I just don't, I find the casting mystifying because it's so transparently just someone that has been trying to get on reality TV forever. And there's still a part of me that feels like 90 Day Fiance, as successful as it is, should be above this kind of person that just wants to be on TV. You know,
I totally agree.
I feel like we're not better than that. Like the number one reality show for years and years, like this is what we got left in on the casting cutting room floor at this point.
It besmirches the show completely. And I just have to say that this is someone who is, there's no room to have a relationship, to love someone when you've got that much hurt. And there's no way you can have a two-way street because you just need the validation that's coming out of you. And I'm sure a lot of that happened with her transition and how she's had to become, but God, you can, your transition in your 20s or before. You're 46 and it's almost like you transitioned 3 days ago. It can't be your whole fucking reason for living in personality. You can't still be that needy. It's unbelievable. And
I'm sure that she's had a really, really hard life.
Totally.
For sure.
Totally.
And so I sympathize a lot with the backstory, but in terms of making a reality TV storyline, it's very boring at this point.
It is. Me. And he's dry as dust.
And he thinks
don't...
cosplaying as Nazis is hilarious. So I just, I have nothing but contempt for him.
He's not kind when people pointed it out. He doubled down. Like the littlest Klan member, you know, she doubled down and she shuffled off. They haven't gotten rid of him, but... I don't really, I think it's because they haven't gotten rid of him because they didn't find more, like they did with Alina.
With Alina, it did continue to escalate and, you know, you kick over a rock and you'd find something horrific she said 10 years ago. I do think part of it has to do with, you know, Alina's a woman.
Yep.
It's much easier to just like for social media to just like devastate someone with a really hot white guy. It seems like
and
we just moved on.
And it's a trans storyline. So this is something that is essential to that they want to tell these stories. Yeah. And it's sad that. Who said this? So we were talking to someone. Any representation is representation, I guess.
Right.
But I don't know. I just feel like I have to take issue with that. I understand, in a way
I understand that line of thinking because you do want to show that trans people are just like anyone else. They're not a monolith of thinking and values and morality. And
they can be just awful garbage people.
Right. There's, by showing that there are trash people, that they're not all trans people are these perfect embodiments like Gabe, right?
Yeah,
like
totally
flawless person. It is humanizing. So I guess that's good in one respect.
Yeah.
But you're not showing what's being shown with Nikki is not a real, it's not a real reflection of who she is. It's a manufactured version for TV and it's so inauthentic. I think it probably does more harm than good.
I would agree. And I think they definitely regret this casting choice. I'm sure she hasn't been easy to film.
Nightmare.
And yeah, I still don't know what they're still doing in Moldova. This is
a before the 90 day storyline.
It's the weirdest story. I think they're just trying to capitalize on the heartwarming, in quotes, idea of his family accepting her. But it feels completely fake. Like I think the mom, I have to say this, mom is very much a big personality too. So you kind of see where his ideas about some where women he wants to date. It's sure. larger than life. And I went, yeah. Oh, that says a lot, mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you buy the storyline, this episode's kind of heartwarming because it's supposed to be this isn't the same as like how a person who's bigoted in the United States would approach this though at all.
Absolutely not.
Because I don't think these people are exposed as much to anti-trans bigotry. Like directly as we are in the United States in our media. I don't even think they really think about it that much.
They don't know what it is because it's so foreign. Right. And I think he had the presence of mind to explain his parents and say, he even said, you can see the work that I've made. What I did to explain to them, probably in great detail, what you did in your transition, that you're a woman, that I love you, and that we're going to be together. Maybe soft pedal that part about him being 18, 19. We're going to not talk about that too much.
Yeah. Let's not do too much Paul and Carini math there.
That's a certain type of math. It's like they say girl math and boy math, all those trends. Paul and Carini math. It's never a good math. It's like buy five, save five, Paul. God, boy. In some ways, I'm really glad they're out of their eye, but God, there were some great moments. There were some wonderful cuckoo bird moments.
The cuckoo-ness hasn't really stopped. It's just moved from TV to Instagram.
It's true.
Did you follow the saga of him ending up on an island in a hammock, like running from the authorities?
No!
Oh, this was great. Oh, wow. This is a whole thing. Carini was on Instagram saying that Paul was missing and she hadn't been able to get a hold of
him. That I did hear.
Yeah, well, the resolution to that was it turns out he was fine. He was on the lam in a hammock on an island, presumably pursuing underage girls in the Amazon. But the authorities were coming after him for not showing up to court in the U.S. And so he just, like, went off grid.
That's very Pole.
Yeah. It doesn't work when you reemerge after like 3 days.
Oh, yeah, we knew it was all possible when he runs in and looks at that water and you looked at his eyes and you saw an actual frightened animal. I'll never forget that episode. That was my here, have a first taste, kid. The first one is free. When I saw him run into the forest and I saw thieves take Carini's phone with machetes.
Looking like Annalie seeing Clayton's jeans in bed.
And the full body revulsion that happens.
Yeah.
And those acid wash jeans. Y'all, the thing about this, I don't want to put too much into this because I think it was massaged for TV. It felt really massaged. The mom has pictures of their first engagement dinner and blah, blah, blah. And I wonder if Nikki's communicated with this woman in 20 years.
It doesn't seem like it at all.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like they have a relationship. They None. Met a couple of times.
It seems like the last thing that mom even thought about Nikki is that she dumped her son and kicked his ass on a plane back to Moldova.
Right. And the most interesting thing this whole scene is two things struck me. I wrote down, now that's a pink wall color.
that's common.
Oh, God. And
I've been in some communist bloc apartments in Poland, and yes, they look exactly the same.
Yes. And then at one point, you could tell that Jessica Delilah enjoys having the house to herself as being the child who's there, because the stepfather can't keep his hands off of her, and they keep going, what you do? I'm like, they have two guests, and that dog is still their baby. Someone's going to come for me and say, my dog is my baby. I don't care who I have over. Oh, God. No, you can tell the dog kind of has a problem with them even being there.
Yeah.
So moving on, he basically tells his mom, we will visit. They go outside because his mom's having a moment. She almost looks like someone who, like an older Bond girl, like white hair. You could see her like a snow bunny thing. James, when would you come to visit me again, James?
You could see her at a ball at the Kremlin.
Yes,
30 years ago.
This is her at 53 now.
Yeah.
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 And
she tried to make it on the stage, but the competition was too stiff back then.
Too much. I agree. And he basically tells her, I will come back. You'll see us get married, blah, blah, blah. And then they ask, and I think this is completely staged, when she said, how did you and Daniel accept Daniel, the stepfather, to accept me being trans? And it's such a weird question to ask. And it felt so clinical.
Very, very.
And it, you know, it felt like
it's a bingo card or a checkbox.
It did.
Like, pull everything back to this one cornerstone of my personality, because I think a reasonable, like, let's just say that this is real. Like, it's not scripted. I feel like a reasonable person would be able to infer, based on the fact that they're totally accepting of you marrying their kid and moving to the United States, they're like, okay, maybe I can infer that the trans issue is settled. I don't need to go there directly.
But we felt like we needed to say it on camera, and say people can do whatever they like. Even though I don't even, maybe his parents possess some knowledge of trans identity more than the normal, more than we expect, but it sounded like they just kind of went, whatever they want to do is their business. I'm just happy that we don't have to support him anymore.
Right.
That's kind of what it felt like.
Have you seen his Instagram? We got to get this kid out of here.
It's just thirst traps.
Idle hands, you know. You let a Moldovan guy be single for too long. The next thing you know, he's in an SS outfit and a beamer on TikTok. I mean, we got to get this kid out of the house.
Got to get him somewhere where he may not be swept up by militant groups.
New Jersey.
God, it is interesting. This is episode 8, and these two are not even, it doesn't even seem like there's a possibility of him coming.
I don't think they're at step 1 in the visa process.
Yeah. That's why this is such bullshit.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying his visa could come in any day, and then I don't know what I would do.
No, you haven't even applied.
I totally agree with you. You don't have the money. To be frank, I think her mother pays for her fucking apartment. I can't imagine. I've seen her, that all those shoots and things that she was doing, y'all, No one has a shoot on a reality show like that if you're not trying to protest too much. She doesn't have anything. She doesn't have a pot to piss in.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would suggest you do like all of us when you watch this storyline. Don't put too much into what they say and just read between the lines and read what they're not saying and just kind of shut your eyes and grin and bear it to the end like we're doing. Because that's exactly what the people who talk about these shows are doing. No one likes this storyline. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really like Ashley and Manuel, though.
Me too, for a different reason, in that I think these two people could not be more ill-suited for one another.
The worst. It's so great to watch.
I know. And it is and what the only thing they seem to have in common is fucking.
Fucking. Yeah. I was going to say cock.
Cock.
Yeah.
Just fucking. F-U-C-K-I-N apostrophe.
And I love to see the gap in self-awareness from Ashley about that.
And it happens almost instantaneously in frames. Like the editing is so brilliant and you're just not aware. You're not aware of this. And then the producer will ask her a question. She'll kind of like smile and then she gets it.
It's incredible. I of all of the people on 90 Day Fiancé I've ever seen, there has never been a person more diametrically opposed personality-wise to my wife than Ashley. Because I swear, if I said something 10% as gnarly as Manuel does to her,
can you imagine?
I wouldn't have sex for months. And yet she is able to separate those in her mind. They're completely different parts of her left brain, right brain, where she can be, she hate fucks.
Oh yeah.
And totally. I a part of me wonders what life would be like if I could just say the most wild shit and then fuck my way to an apology. It would be a totally different world.
I don't know if your wife has that skill set.
No. Oh God, no.
you would just have some nice rat poison sandwiches waiting for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She would shit under my pillow if I ever wanted to get laid again.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think there is something there. There's also, for her, it's a self-image issue. It's an insecurity issue. Yeah. And it's at the root of everything. And it's kind of, I think she's makes a great TV. I think she's probably a fun hang if you don't have to talk to her.
Yeah.
If you know, if she's the one person at the party, you kind of catch a snatch of this and get. Maddie said, "Oh, I think she'd be fun to hang out with." And I'm like, "Are you fucking crazy? She talked your ear off."
The first couple episodes, I was with him on that. I thought she would be fun to hang out with, but now I feel like she would.
Not.
Now I feel like she would just bring up her and Manuel's drama. And she would expect you to listen to her and play therapist. It would be exhausting.
The worst thing about it, she would talk about him when he's right there.
Right there.
In English.
Right there.
I don't know if we've had anyone do that. It's
really uncomfortable.
It's appalling to me. When she called her friend and she's
wild.
Like, I just need to call you and tell you what Manuel did right now. And they're just speaking, and he's like, I guess I'm going to sit here while you talk shit about me.
It's very, I mean, he doesn't speak very good English, but it's very clear what's occurring. And even her friend asks, is he right there in the fucking car?
Because she's like, even she's having problems. So you're doing this to someone you love?
Are we really doing this right now? And then she screams that so this entire fight happens because he's just fucking with her. And it's hard for me to know if he's being sincere. He's fucking with her about her coffee habit.
It's tricky.
And I don't know if he's just a master troll or he's actually upset about this yet. But she,
this is how they pick at each other. They pick at each other this way. She's not ready to have a fight today about it, though, because so he's picking at her. And honestly, she gets this. This is where I had to cash in my chips. She's making coffee at home and she's got it in a fucking mason jar without a top. Y'all knew I was going to bring this up. I guarantee you, Maddie would have brought this up. Day one, I have gone somewhere with a coffee mug in my car because I don't know where my travel mug is, y'all. You are going to be wearing that coffee at the first pothole in the road.
And she spills it instantly.
And then she says, here, hold this. And she's on her phone. Then the bitch has another coffee.
She has a can.
It's like a parody. This is like a commercial of I'm a coffee addict. Yeah, that's what I do. All my friends say I'm a coffee addict. Here, hold my coffee. I'm a coffee addict.
Or it's like a hidden camera show where you just try to up the ante on how absurd a situation, like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or something.
And that's why, and then it feels like Manuel is Larry David.
Right.
And I do agree. Manuel has said some really shitty things to her. And do I think – I don't really want to fully defend him here, but I feel like she constantly infantilizes him and he resents the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
And I – this is so – we've said this before.
They can't understand each other's lifestyle at all.
No. Nothing. And my question is how these people seemingly, we saw them at the 90-day anniversary thing as one of their kind of couples. How are these people going to get together? I don't know. That means
that has to mean they got married, right? It has to.
That has to mean that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's all I could just do is and the way I still can't get over the fact that she brings him, it's almost like she like takes him by the hand and sits him down and he just like sits there. And at one point she just kind of forgets he's there and stops translating and just talks shit about him to her friends who talk more shit.
Right.
And he even says, I feel like I don't exist in her world. Or I don't mean much.
He's really just a penis that is just there to anger her. Yeah. And then satisfy her 10 minutes later. And then just create this very strange and clearly...
It's drama loop.
I don't want to say that she's emotionally intelligent, but she thinks that she is. She thinks she's like an emotional... She thinks that she's a genius with relationships and communication. And it's so odd to me that she can't see how dark this is.
It is. And it's so dark. And when he said in the therapist's office, I just kind of sit there and watch and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And what he meant there, y'all, is getting back at her. That's the resentment thing.
He sees her spiraling and just leans into it.
And it's like, I understand. I think he's got a nasty, cruel side too.
Yeah.
And I don't think for her, I think there is part of that. I don't know if she sees him as actually an equal partner. I don't know.
Not at all.
And that to me is unforgivable. That's a non-starter. And my favorite line in this, I have to say, is when they're at the fucking candle shop. Because why does she take him to all these stupid, like, hippy-dippy activities that she knows he's going to hate?
Hippy-dippy activities that probably cost hundreds of dollars.
A candle-making session?
Yeah. There's no way this isn't $50 a person minimum.
Oh, and I can only imagine what whipped cream candle. That's too sweet. I can already tell you.
Birthday cake candle.
Birthday cake. I have a problem with sweet candles. I've gone on the record about this. Bed Bath and Body Works can go like die in a fire.
Yeah, I agree.
Or not. I'm sorry. What's the candle? What's the candle that smells really bad? Is it Bath and Body Works? I'm sorry, not Bed Bath and Body Works. Bath and Body Works can all burn. I need to be careful about that because I said I wished the building next to me would burn down, Kyle. And the next day, the fire trucks were here, Kyle. I'm worried that I'm manifesting things like a witch in Salem. I'm a little worried.
Or a witch in Dominican Republic.
Seriously. Mitra Bajo es bruja is still my favorite thing she said. Mitra Bajo es bruja. Yo tengo internet. when that first episode came on, I just walked around my house and says, Yo tengo internet, Manuel.
Yo tengo Wi-Fi.
She's ridiculous. Anyway, this woman is explaining the candles, and he just goes in Spanish, you explained it perfectly, but too bad I don't understand a word. This is a game to this guy. And I guess it gets to the point, there's a certain type of person where you know you have zero power in the situation.
No power and kind of like infinite time.
Yes.
Which is really interesting because like if I was taken to a candle making class, I would be just profoundly irritated the entire time.
I would fake a seizure or something to get out of it.
I have too much shit going on to do something that I have no interest in doing. And I would wish if my wife wanted to do it, I would wish her well, invite your friends, have a great time.
He'd be miserable.
But with him, he clearly is not into this, but he has all the time in the world and causing a stink is his hobby.
Yes.
He actually loves this shit because he can ruin her good time.
Yeah. And they can start a fight and he –
Which is a direct line to vagina.
Yes, and it equalizes power because once they're in the sexo time is when they're in sexy time, all of a sudden power is equalized.
Right.
And That's the cycle that he needs to go in to feel like he has, to use a Seinfeld reference, he has hand. Have you seen the you've never watched Seinfeld, probably.
No, I have seen that. Yes.
You have seen it. I had hand. You're going to need it. I quote Seinfeld all the time. So it feels like but we have a lot of listeners who've watched it. There are people who've never seen like single episodes of it.
That's, I don't know how you, those people have never stayed in a hotel then.
That's like when someone says they've never seen an episode of Forensic Files. I say you've never stayed in a hotel.
Yeah, never.
Cause it's always on.
Your Airbnb only with the fucking Vivo TV or whatever the fuck it is.
Roku.
Roku. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Mine said, I'm like, what the fuck is this? At a Roku TV. Anyway, y'all, they ask, so how's it going? We're going to make candles.
Well,
we're doing some wedding planning.
What's up with him sending money? Because that's appropriate to bring up.
this was so fed to her. And then she's like, it's funny you talk about that. You okay, Manuel? You listening? You can duck out if you like. Or you can sit right there because you're literally in the next chair to me. And you're in our foursome. And we're going to talk about you and the shady shit you do right in front of you. And you can't understand us, but you know we're talking about you. It's the most...
Smell your candle and shut the fuck up.
It's the most disrespectful thing. I have no words for it when it happens. I don't know if we've seen to this degree. People have done it.
To this degree. It happened. It has happened for sure. Well, like I just thinking about like the best example I think that's ever happened on the show was Sumit's mom.
Oh yes. Just like, to Jenny.
Devastating Jenny right in front of her, and she has no idea.
that is and that's pretty comparable. Yeah. And oh God, I'll never forget when Sumit's father said, "So you want to marry an oldie?
Why not marry a 100-year-old?
And you know what,
I think they're talking about me, but I don't know what they're saying. Do they think I'm too old for him?
Oh, there's a worm. I want to eat it. The thing is, y'all, they're happy now. They're happy now.
I know. They're totally fine.
And I can't believe it. I'm so happy for them. Fucking Kimberly coming for Jenny and Sumit on TikTok. Shut your mouth. Don't come for our chicken queen. Anyway, y'all, then we get into something that we almost always get into with either Latin American culture, South American culture, sending back money. By now, you know, if you've been watching this for long enough, it is expected, especially it was Pedro's whole storyline.
It's harvesting.
It's harvesting accessing, the American dollar.
Accessing the American economy, which means Ashley's checking account.
Now, what he does say, and what I am kind of staggered by is this guy's, even though she's telling him, she's like, yep, well, you're my wife, and we're going to use your money for a while, and then I'm going to pay you back every single cent. And he doesn't even seem really contrite about it. He's just like,
yeah,
it's kind of impressive to watch.
So I think that makes sense, though, because I can't see a world where this isn't a well-understood part of the equation before he gets there.
I can't believe she did not know about this.
I think she does. I think she's totally full of shit. I am willing to believe, though, that she didn't really understand the amount that it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the reason that he is so matter of fact about it is that I think he did tell her, like, look, I support my kids.
Right.
You really think that I can come over there unless you, like, I'm sure that they, I think he's straight up told her, like, if I move there, you're paying for my kids until I can work.
Right.
That's just the way it is. It's not an exploitative thing. It's not even an emotional thing. It's literally just logistically this what is has how to things happen. Are. It, yeah. And I don't even think in this case, it's a Latin American culture thing or whatever. If you're paycheck to paycheck and you moved here from the UK, it wouldn't and be the mom any different.
And the mom doesn't support the kids.
Yeah. Someone has to pay for the fucking kids. And so if I move to wherever the fuck she lives, you're going to have to pay for her. Otherwise, I have to work hard. Yeah. Rochester, right. Otherwise, I'm going to have to save up some money somehow.
Yeah.
Before I go out there. So you want me now or later?
Did you notice something when she said, it's like a monthly bill?
Yeah. Children are a monthly bill.
There was something in that I went, God, that's self-involved.
Yeah. She doesn't
get it.
She doesn't at all. And also the idea that kids are a fixed expense is so absurd.
Right.
But maybe someone that's young and doesn't have kids maybe wouldn't put that together on their own. I can maybe forgive it a little bit. But like, what if the kid breaks their fucking arm? Like, I don't think that they are taking that $300 and stashing some of it for a rainy day. No, they need to feed them and get them clothes and get them to school and shit.
And then, just like you said, he brings up things like, you balk at the money, but you paid $130 for the vet bill for the dog, and the cat gets this, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know pets are her family, but what he's saying is, I can't imagine with her Mitra Bajo's Bruja, she's not making that much money off of Brujaing, but so I'm sure she has another job.
I think she makes zero off of Brujaing. unless witch influencing is a bigger genre than I thought.
She has another job. And it seems like with this, as you said before, $50, maybe $75 a person, these are expenses. And I guarantee you, if she totaled up her two coffees a day, can you imagine?
Right.
And I think he's trying to give her a little bit of like a reality check of, you don't have a fucking budget. You don't even know if you have $300. You don't know how much fucking money you spend in a month.
Yeah. I mean, I from his perspective, I can see why for this entire conversation, regardless of the amount, is insanely insulting.
Yep.
For one thing, you're airing dirty laundry in front of her friends in English, right in front of him. It's asinine.
And you want them to like him, supposedly.
But two, like, you're talking about this sending money back in the context of, is he scamming or not?
Yep, that's exactly.
It's
a trope.
If you're Manuel, you're thinking like, okay, even if I am scamming, I mean, I'm sending that money to I actually have kids. I didn't make up the kids. So like we've Kim and I have talked about this, like, is Manuel just, does he really like Ashley? Like, he really likes her tits, but I don't really know beyond that, honestly, at this point, if he even enjoys being in her company besides having sex. So is he scamming, like, at a high level, perhaps, but sending $300 to take care of two kids, that just seems like a practical logistical reality. Like, that doesn't scream scam.
Totally agree. I consider this, when you saying, does he love Ashley? Does he do this? I consider this as part of what I call the Hazel principle of Tariq and Hazel. You could say, does Hazel love Tariq? Well, he was the best that came along.
Yeah.
And also, can I live with them? And also, could I get what I want for my children and have a better life for them? So it's not just about the wonder of American romantic love. It is more than that.
I don't have a problem with the transactional nature of a relationship if both parties agree it's transactional.
Exactly.
And Ashley clearly doesn't see this that way at all.
She has no fucking clue.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tariq must have known, right?
God. After the pillow barrier, you gotta think.
I really
these quote, these questions are dumb and stupid. My life is none of your business. That's a great foundation to build on.
My life is none of your business. Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all, he does the stereotypical, I'm done and walks out. He's Mother Debbie Dunn.
Mother Angela Dunn.
Mother Angela. They all leave. And at one point, she says, prophetically perhaps, to the camera, I aggressively misunderstood how intense this problem is.
Aggressive misunderstanding is her specialty.
This woman is perfect for this show.
Oh, yeah.
However, I can't imagine this turning out well. It's not a perfect relationship.
They get fucking married, though.
Well, remember what I said. 3 years is great.
Fantastic.
I really believe that I love this storyline. I love this one. I love Guinea Pig Corner. I can't get enough. Gino and Jasmine, they make it fun and it's entertaining.
They're a known quantity.
You know what you're getting. Devin and Nick, that's going to feel like old hometown, old season 90 throwback.
It's one of those things where like nothing's really happened yet, but you could see the potential for horror coming.
Yeah. Also, we've got a new couple next week. And you saw this. Now, I said, someone posted this in our Facebook group, the Sissy Squad. And I went, these are some Love After Lockup looking motherfuckers.
I was going to say the exact same thing. This dude just got out.
And she looks sketch. And him and those neck tattoos. And he looks like he is 12 going on 48.
How does he have a job to sponsor her with his neck tattoos? And
it is frankly terrifying. And that's going to be the storyline that I'm going to have to white knuckle through. Where it's like, you know how Love After Lockup, sometimes you just kind of white knuckle through some storylines.
I'm worried this is going to feel too real.
Oh, yeah.
This is like a Breaking Bad, way too real to be comfortable watching.
And y'all, they are the Yolanda slot. So this is episode 9. And we remember what happened slot. To Yolanda. That's what we call it. There's always a Yolanda slot.
So who's going to, what couple's going to end next week then?
That's true. I can't imagine Nikki or I can't imagine Rob and Soapy making it much longer. Yeah. I don't know.
They weren't at the party.
They weren't.
I think
he was dancing. I think he was dancing at a club down the street. I'm for all things Ashley and Manuel. I'm for all things Guinea Pig Corner. The others are fine.
It's interesting. Like if you look at each individual couple, the only one that I profoundly hate watching is Nikki and Igor. But at the same time, I still have a general feeling of malaise about the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you look at each one, like I like a lot of them. I guess I really hate watching Rob, but
yeah,
overall, for some reason, like 6 out of 8 being tolerable ain't bad, but I still don't like it.
You know, I always say I don't like any of them, but I can appreciate the storylines. I feel like season 9 was worse. We had Jabri.
Yeah. I agree. I can agree with that.
I think we have at least 2, maybe 3 people we can actually be invested in. The others were that season. Kyle, thank you so much
for guesting.
And tell us where we can find you in all things reality cray cray.
Well, we have crawled back into a cave away from social media. We after 5 years of podcasting, we realized how much we just hate everything. So we really, you can find us on our website, realitycraycray.com.
Interesting marketing. Interesting.
We've done literally no marketing for years. This is the most marketing we've done in the last 6 months, me being on this show. So thank you for having me. Go to realitycraycray.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You know, just search Reality Cray Cray. We're there.
And your Patreon and your Supercast.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You're worse than me. When we have to promote something, I'm like, what do we need? I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about this.
Well, we've been doing our D-Sides documentary podcast for the last few years. You can find that on Patreon and Supercast. We have a ton of fun doing that. We just, as I talked about earlier, like we just did Twin Flames and that was hysterical. I had so much fun watching that. I do these recaps at the beginning of the podcast in case you don't have the particular streaming service or you just don't remember because you watched a long time ago. And I lost my shit laughing just doing the recap where I basically just read my notes really fast that I took to remind people what happened. And I couldn't even get through reading my own notes without laughing. It was so good.
That's how I do when I cover Eurovision every year. When I just read my notes, I'm like, what the fuck? And I realize I was drunk by the time I got here. By the time I got to Serbia, I was wasted. Thank you again, Kyle. Maddie will be back next week. But y'all, we will continue to plow through this season. I'm sure we're taking a break for Christmas. This year, Christmas and New Year's, I think we will not have shows.
I mean, 2 weeks off.
Maybe, yeah. But what a luxury. Kyle, thank you again.
This was great. Thank you for having me.
We will see y'all next week.